Welcome to the 62nd episode of Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by sports columnist Scott Osler. Scott has been providing awesome Warriors content all year, and he'll be in Houston with me for Game 6 of the Western Conference semifinals. After Golden State's 104-99 win over the Rockets in Game 5 on Wednesday night, we caught up at Oracle Arena about Kevin Durant's calf injury, the Warriors' fourth quarter resilience, Stephen Curry's continued shooting woes, and much, much more. We'll have our conversation right after the break. Around 12:30 a.m. Thursday, Scott Osler and I chatted in the room inside Oracle Arena, reserved for players' pregame chapel. Scott, we're here in the bowels of Oracle Arena. We're a couple hours now removed from one of the crazier games I think I've ever witnessed in my life. Game 5 of the Western Conference semifinals. The Warriors pulled this one out in escape artist fashion. Final score was 104-99. Honestly, it felt even closer than that final score. The Warriors had a 20-point second quarter lead. The Rockets came all the way back to take the lead. Right when they're mounting that comeback, Kevin Durant goes down with a calf injury, a strained right calf, leaves the game for the rest of the game. And the Warriors, in his absence, really came together and showed remarkable perseverance.
That was the best game, I thought, of the playoffs so far. And there's been some good games because, as we all know, the Warriors are no longer the team that steamrolls opponents in the playoffs by 20 points and goes 4-0 and out and onto the next round. So they've been a lot of really good games, but this was so, in so many ways, there's so many elements, so many great elements. You had all the greatness, individual greatness and team greatness of the Warriors. You had James Harden at times really on the top of his game, and you had Chris Paul glowering like crazy, and the Rockets just mounting a great charge and coming back, and it was a great game.
It was, I mean, great feels like a little bit of an understatement, but you know, as Steph said post game, it was really a roller coaster of emotions, and I think you and I talked about this a little bit post game as well. It felt like the entire season was distilled into 48 minutes because they start off really strong, they, you know, go up 20 points in the second quarter, then almost on cue, they let the foot off the gas and they let the Rockets back in and they completely get away from what they want to do. And then, you know, the injury bug has become a little bit of a theme with this season, with DeMarcus and what have you. The injury bug kicks in and it's Durant, you know, it's Kevin Durant. It's the guy who has really willed the Warriors throughout the playoffs until this point. And there was a few moments there where players admitted later that they thought it might be an Achilles. The way he was hopping, the way he was grimacing, coming down from that corner jumper in front of Iman Shumpert, people worried that it was an Achilles. Was that your thought when you saw it?
That was, but it's my understanding, though, after I looked at it for a minute and after he walked off, it's my understanding that usually when you get an Achilles, the pain is right away and you can't walk. You can't walk it off. You have to be carried off wherever you are. So that's my thought, my non-doctorate thesis on what went on. So I figured it was – at first I thought it was ankle, and then he grabbed his calf. So I thought then it could be a – you know, he could have pulled a muscle out, not an Achilles or something. So, but, it's hard to say right now. It kind of looks like he's going to be out for a while, right?
Yeah, you know, the Warriors were really talking like that post game. So Durant's having an MRI tomorrow morning, and then the Warriors will make their decision on whether or not he travels to Houston for Game 6 after that. But if you ever want some truth serum, if you ever want a pulse on what's actually happening, just ask Klay Thompson, because he unprompted tonight in his post game said, you know, when we're going to Houston without Durant. And I later got the mic and asked, wait, so are you guys expecting to not have Durant for game six. And then they kind of backtracked and said, well, we don't really know, but, you know, if we don't have Durant, blah, blah, blah. I would be shocked if they have Durant for game six. There's just no point in risking it. It looked like it was a serious enough injury where, let's say if it was the regular season, he'd probably be out at least a few weeks, a week or two. And it's not game six is a big deal on the road, but it's not game seven. And, you know, this team has shown that they can win games without Durant. As great as Durant is, their record without Durant is actually surprisingly decent. They actually, until a couple months ago, they were 20-0 in games that Durant didn't play, but Steph Curry did, which is one of the crazier stats I've ever come across in my time on this beat. And that's not to say Durant's not incredibly important to what they do, but I've always felt like Durant is the ultimate luxury. He's the ultimate bailout, which this team has often needed, but he's not, in my opinion, as fundamental to their system and what they do as someone like Steph or even Clay, or, you know what, even Draymond for that matter. Durant has been the only guy who's consistently gotten them going in these playoffs. Entering tonight, he was averaging close to 40 points per game in these playoffs. He's been absolutely unreal. And, you know, he had a pretty good game until he got injured. He had 22 points and 8 for 18 shooting, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So not necessarily his greatest game, but it was only, you know, late in the third at that point. So that's pretty good for, you know, 32 minutes. And it'll be really interesting to see how the Warriors handle this. You have to think that if it's even somewhat serious and you think that he shouldn't play game six, why would you have him travel to Houston, given the fact that you're getting on a plane on Thursday, you got a game Friday in Houston, then you're flying back on Saturday for a game Sunday, potentially game seven. Why would you have him get on a plane and do all that?
Yeah, I agree. This could turn out to be like Kareem and Magic in the 1980 NBA Finals, where Kareem got injured and the Lakers went back to Philadelphia, won the series, won game six and the series without Kareem. He was back home watching. So could be something like that. You know, here's a weird thing I just thought of, is that I certainly don't want to see Durant out for more than a game or so, because the guy is fun to watch, man. He's phenomenal. He's playing such great ball. It's just, you know, 20 years from now, we'll still be talking about, man, remember that series when Kevin Durant just went off. But let's say he is out, because I can't control that. So let's say he's out for a week or two or whatever. It's a golden opportunity for the Warriors in terms of number one, in terms of PR, because the rap against them all along has been, number one, they have too much talent. It's not fair. And number two, they're lucky, because anytime they play an important series, somebody on the other team gets hurt, like Chris Paul last year in the Rockets series. It seems like the Warriors are always the beneficiary of an injury to the other team. Well, this would be their chance to say, look, sometimes it happens to us too, and we can overcome it. And so it would not only be great from the PR standpoint, from letting people know that this is not just a one-man team and it's not Kevin Durant, and that really is a strong, solid team, but the second thing, it would also maybe show the players that. It would show Steph and Clay and Draymond and the rest of the guys that, look, we love the guy and we hope he plays with us and we hope he comes back next year, but we can play some ball without him. It'd be kind of a confidence booster. Plus, it's survival. They have to play and win without him, or they go home.
And the reality is, you know, this team is not that different in terms of some of the core pieces than it was before KD got here. You know, they still have Draymond, they still have Clay, they still have Steph, they still have Andre, they still have Sean. So they've won titles with those guys being core pieces and without Durant. So, I should say they won a title, and made two finals. So, you know, they know that they can do it. And if there's one thing we've learned about this team is when the stakes are highest, is when the stakes are highest and, you know, they're most challenged, they tend to play their best. So I would not be surprised at all if in game six the Warriors come out and play inspired.
Yeah, not only that, but I think one thing we saw tonight is that Stephen Clay, some people, especially people, you know, don't pay a lot of attention, except in the as the playoffs get deeper, is that Steph and Clay are not over the hill. They're not toast. Their careers aren't over, and they're not choking dogs because they had a few bad games. They're the same guys they've been all season, possibly dinged up a little bit with ankles and so forth, but it's just unlikely that all of a sudden Steph and Clay dropped off the face of the earth and became crappy, choking players. So it's it just makes perfect sense that they came back like they did tonight, and it would make perfect sense if they also played really well in Houston.
Yeah, and, you know, to your point, the Steph or Clay had a great game tonight, but Steph continued to struggle. He was 9 for 23 from the field, 3 for 11 from 3, hit a couple big shots down the stretch, but for much of the game was kind of a non-factor offensively, and that as that was the continuation of really what's been a series-long slump. He has not had a true Steph-like performance all series. I know he had 30 points and 8 assists in game 4, and it's kind of crazy to say that someone didn't have a good game when they have 30 and 8, but that's how high the bar is with Steph at this point. And so who knows? You know, maybe if Durant misses a game, that kind of helps Curry get his mojo back because he is the unquestioned guy in that situation and he can kind of just be him without worrying about, you know, Durant getting shots or what have you. And there have been a lot of times in this series where understandably Durant has the Warriors have force fed Durant for ISO situations. And for the most part, it's been fruitful, but you know, when they're constantly doing that, it can hurt both Thompson and Curry.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing people might think is that when these guys are not playing well, that they get really down. And they are humans. Steph and Clay, for instance, are, you know, they're human beings. But I don't think, and they, you know, they feel bad when they're in a slump and they're not shooting well. But these guys just, they have that short attention span or no conscience or bad memory, whatever you want to call it. Whereas if you have a bad game or have a bad first half or something, you still come out shooting. They were both shooting right from the start. Clay was shooting with confidence. In the second half, even after a shaky first half, Steph came out shooting confidently. And he made a big play. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how Houston is getting all the hustle rebounds and everything. Steph got a gigantic rebound of his own missed shot near the end of the game and did a putback with it and got fouled and made two free throws. And that was one of the turning points of the game. So these guys, I just think they're ready to play.
Yeah, and looking at Houston, you know, they played pretty well defensively. Offensively, they did not shoot the ball well. And as we know with this team, they really live or die with a three-pointer. They were 12 for 41 from three. Chris Paul was 0 for 6 from three. James Harden was 3 for 9. They need to do better than that. And you saw that in games 1 and 2 when they lost, didn't shoot super well from three. Games 3 and 4 when they won, they shot better from three. That is no coincidence. When this team is shooting well from three, they tend to win. When they don't, they tend to lose. That's just how they're built. But you know, one thing that was interesting was James Harden actually still had a pretty good game, 31 points. You know, it was 8 for 10 from the foul line, 10 for 16 from three, but he only had 5 points in the fourth. And I thought the Warriors' ability to make things difficult on him late in the game was a huge factor in why they were able to pull things out late. You know who was unbelievable tonight once again was P.J. Tucker. 13 points, 10 rebounds, and, you know, he only had one offensive rebound, but it felt like he was all over the place. Making life difficult. He had a couple really good defensive stands on Durant. There was one point in the game early in the game when Durant had the three, and he just completely shut him down. I think he's really been the X factor for them this whole series.
Yeah. And, you know, one factor I just thought of is that another challenge for the Warriors going into Friday night is that I think if you ask James Harden who he'd least rather have watch him, guard him on the Warriors, I think it'd be Durant because of Durant's length and his toughness and his speed and everything. And he's the toughest guy to shoot over. And even though Harden had a bad fourth quarter, and you can't chalk that up to Durant because he wasn't in, I think Durant being out is going to be a key factor in defense because for 5 or 10 minutes or whatever time he would spend guarding Durant, Durant's going to have an easier time, and that's going to and also the home court is going to call into question the benches because generally speaking, what usually happens is on the road, your bench guys don't perform as well, and the Warriors are going to be calling on their bench guys Friday at least a little bit. Somebody's got to take over those 40 minutes that Kevin Durant's been playing. So that'll be another factor.
Yeah. You know, I think the benches have been pretty important in this series, either in terms of what they've provided or the lack of help they've provided. Austin Rivers entering tonight was leading both teams in net rating, believe it or not. He was a really helpful piece, especially defensively, but also offensively, hitting timely shots. Tonight, he really struggled. He was 1 for 6 from the field. Finished with a plus-minus of minus 20 in 24 minutes, which is crazy because he was well into the positive in the first four games. And, you know, the Warriors bench, that's been obviously a big topic throughout this series because they've gotten almost nothing from the bench. And you look at the plus minus individually of the guys they've played, and they've been awful. But, you know, I thought there were some strides from the bench tonight. Kevon Looney, for the first time in the series, really made an impact. In that first half, he had a bunch of rebounds. He finished with 9 rebounds. He was all over the offensive boards, had 5 offensive rebounds, provided that toughness and energy that I think they need from him. So that was a something to kind of build from. And then, you know, Jonas Jerebko only played 5 minutes, but when he played, he made some contributions, hit a really nice pivotal 3, I thought, right after Durant left the game, which provided a little bit of a jolt of energy during a time when the team was kind of feeling the bad vibes of that injury. So,
although a minute later he put a 3 off the side of the backboard. So,
yeah, no, true. There's progress to be made, but the reality is, if Durant is gone, they need some more help from the bench, and they need someone like Jerebko and McKinney to be somewhat of a factor. Now, obviously, they're not going to ask them to come in and score 20 points, but they need them to help. And the reality is this bench just has not helped until tonight, at least.
Yeah. And like I said, a lot of it's generally acknowledged that in the NBA and the playoffs, your bench guys play better at home. And so that, if you go with that, that kind of bodes badly for the Warriors come Friday. And it also shows with Rivers how he played tonight. You know, on the road, he played bad. At home, he's been playing a little bit better. And, you know, he can be a dangerous, helpful guy for them. And tonight he wasn't. But I would guess Friday night he'd be more of a factor.
Yeah. No, it's going to be really interesting. Friday night is going to be a fascinating game because, you know, both of these teams are going to give absolutely everything they have. And for the Rockets, this is such an important game because, I mean, I feel silly even saying that because it's an elimination game for them. But just imagine how they are going to feel going into that game saying, look, we're at home. It's an elimination game. And they don't have Kevin Durant. We have no excuses. We have to win this game.
Yeah. Beyond that is the fact that for the last, 3 years or so, their general manager has talked about how their one goal, their one obsession is to beat the Warriors. And this is their chance. This is their golden opportunity, especially if Durant is out. And if they don't seize this, man, this would just be a crumbling crusher for the Rockets.
It definitely would be. But I will say this has to be one of the most entertaining playoff series ever. I mean, it's just felt like these teams are so evenly matched. They care so much. There's so much history already with these two teams. They understand what's at stake, and they care on a personal level. I don't think they really like each other very much. And one thing that James Harden said post game tonight, which was every game has been so different. You know, it's not like the same things have been hurting each team. You know, they're making adjustments from game to game, and they're finding different ways to throw each other off kilter. And honestly, I think that I give D'Antoni a lot of credit, because I think he's done a great job with the game plan. It's just, like we said earlier, it comes down to whether or not they hit threes. And, you know, they had some open looks tonight that they did not make. And they need Chris Paul to do better. Chris Paul has not been great in this series. Obviously, he's probably their second best player. It seems like he's getting older. You know, he's been more of an irritant than anything else. He hasn't been hitting enough big shots. I mean, 0-for-6 from three is just not going to get it done for him.
Yeah, not only that, but the more he struggles, the kind of grouchier it gets, man. He gets meaner, and he starts kind of swiping at guys and stuff like that. So that's kind of an entertaining facet of the game.
Scott will be with me in Houston for game 6, just to give you guys a little bit of a snapshot in our lives. You know, it's 12:30 a.m. right now. We just got done writing. I actually have to write another story right now and file this. And then I have a 5:30 a.m. flight. You have a 6:20 a.m. flight. So we'll be at the airport. I'll be at the airport in, you know, 3.5 hours. And then we're heading to Houston, and we'll be writing, I'm sure, a ton of Durant tomorrow and covering Steve in Houston. But I don't tell you guys that to ask for sympathy or anything like that. We love our jobs. It's an awesome job. And if there's any job that's worth not sleeping for, it's, you know, covering this level of basketball at this stage of the season.
Yeah, and people might be thinking now, since you said that, they might be thinking, why aren't we taking the same flight? And, of course, the answer is that we can't take the same flight, because if the plane went down, then two of the greatest journalists in America would be taken out at once. So
the real reason is that Scott is much smarter than me and booked his flight way sooner than I did and got the nonstop to Houston. And I had to change my flight and was not able to get on that flight. So I will be leaving earlier to get into Houston about an hour later. So,
By the way, you're an experienced traveler. What time do the bars open at the airport?
The bars usually open around 10 a.m., I believe.
Oh, I guess.
Actually, no, I take that back. A lot of those restaurant bars will serve you alcohol, like Bloody Marys and stuff, very early, like, you know, 7 a.m. So,
not only that, but they have refreshments on the flights.
They do. And I don't know about you, but I always get a drink coupon. But we'll be working tomorrow, so we can't be drinking.
Well, that's true. I forgot about that. Okay. We'll save that for after hours tomorrow.
After hours, after what will eventually be a 48-hour grind, we can maybe have a beer.
All right. We'll wind down. We'll have fun.
All right. We'll stay locked and loaded with all of our coverage at sfchronicle.com. It's been a fun and entertaining series. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the coverage. I know we've had a lot of fun providing it.
All right. Take it easy. Everybody enjoy the games.
I want to thank Scott Oster for joining me on the podcast. It's always fun picking his brain about the Warriors. Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, we'd love it if you subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and email me at cleturno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.